Item number 10 is a resolution regarding the formal process for Corporation Counsel legal opinions, and it is from Corporation Counsel.
Mr. Grady or Ms. Walker?
Yeah, I'm not sure when Ms. Walker wants to speak to this or myself, maybe both of us.
Okay.
This came out of a budget amendment in the 2012 adopted budget, asking us to put together a policy, for lack of a better word, on how to address opinion requests. What you have before you is basically, I think, a prioritization of requests from the county board. I think it's fairly logical. It is difficult, I think, to be overly precise with this kind of a policy. I know that supervisors would like a lot of precision, but it gets hard to do because these situations aren't easily categorized. Obviously, it's easy to deal with referrals from the full board, from a committee. Those are provided for by ordinance and obviously get priority. It's what I've heard the concern be is individual supervisors. And what we're saying here basically is we'll address those, but they aren't going to be the priority over full committee and full board referrals or committee chair referrals. But we will address those as we can. What I have to say to you that's not in the written document, I guess, is that I hope in the last 6 months or so since Ms. Walker's been here and I've been promoted that we have been trying to be responsive to individual supervisors' requests as much as possible. There are rare circumstances that we've gotten into in the past where we've been either reluctant to provide advice because of the political nature of the question or because we're providing advice to an individual supervisor that we think really belongs or should go to a full board. But those situations are, I think, the exception, not the rule. And I hate to write a policy that addresses the exception and not the ordinary situation. So that's a long-winded way of saying we'd like you to trust us a little bit.
Supervisor Broderick.
I guess I'm attempting to distinguish between an opinion and requesting an opinion and our need for occasional guidance from your office. My assumption is that we are still free to ask your legal opinions informally on matters to guide our own legislative behaviors.
I think the answer, Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, is yes. The question is everybody's definition of what's an informal opinion changes.
Yeah.
and I don't want to pick on any particular situation, but it's a good example, and that's why I use it. This situation that occurred with domestic partner benefits. My involvement personally in that issue came from an email from the supervisor that eventually got spread to, I think, a couple other supervisors. And then it turned into a back and forth. Well, okay, that's answered. Now what about this? And it was a question that really obviously deserved fuller attention. And I didn't like the way that process was developing. And so what I would say to you is, yes, come to us with a question, but understand in some situations we may say we prefer to have a referral from the board for your permission to share our answer with the board or with a committee that's involved on the subject matter. Now, there are times when Supervisor Garuda is brought up. It's a matter of personal concern, you know, maybe your personal ethics question.
Yeah.
That's different. I'm talking about matters of public policy that come to us. And we can still provide informal guidance, but there are situations where it tends to drift beyond that, and that's where we may feel the need to pull back the reins a little bit. The other thing is just a matter of staffing. We are reduced to staffing, and there's a time concern.
Supervisors, are you finished, Supervisor?
Thank you.
Supervisor Rice, then Weishaupt.
Yeah, thank you. And I understand the intent here, and I support it, and I appreciate the need to prioritize things and get us on the same page as to, you know, what's appropriate and what the appropriate timing is on it. A couple of questions. One, you speak to the issue of individual ethics questions. I think there is a provision in the ethics code that provides for that process to go through the ethics board and the ethics board then to request the opinion to be drafted by the Corporation Counsel's office rather than directly from the individual supervisor to the Corporation Counsel's office.
And that's true. That is the preferred process, but I use that in a more broad sense than a specific ethics code question, just a question of how should I conduct myself as an elected official.
Yes.
In a general sense, or something maybe that's not covered by the ethics code.
Yeah, I understand. And that goes to my next question. Then if we look at the be it resolved clause in the sub 4, that after the priority of the full board and the county board chairman and the standing committee. Then it says individual members' requests will generally be considered in order of priority and must be determined by the Office of Corporation Counsel to lack countywide significance to be appropriately received outside the established process. I'm confused by that language. Are you saying that the request comes from an individual, and only if it lacks countywide significance will it be considered?
That's great.
Well, this is the drafting problem we're trying to get at, what we're trying to get at.
Yeah.
It goes back to the point I just made a minute ago. If it's an informal request, I've got an interest in this matter of public policy, and I'd like some sort of initial guidance on direction. I don't think that's an issue, but when we get into a more detailed, in my particular example, numbered set of paragraphs and questions on if we do this, what about this, if we do this, what about that, and it's clearly going into an area that really is a committee domain as opposed to an individual supervisor domain. We may want to be able to say to you, we'd rather not respond to you individually, we'd rather respond to the committee, or we'd rather have you ask the committee to refer that to us for a more formal legal opinion rather than some phone call or email.
Yeah, I fully appreciate that, but I'm not sure that's the important
point. Maybe we can work
on
the drafting. I'm happy to this was a first draft, and I'm happy to work on trying to revise it to meet as much as we can.
Yeah, I'm reading this, maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but I'm reading this as saying if it's determined to lack countywide significance, then it will be considered.
I understand your point, yeah. And maybe it needs a little more.
The intent is to say that the higher priority will be those requests that have countywide significance. Is that right?
Well, it's that, and it's also to sort of reserve for ourselves the right to say, we feel uncomfortable providing this piece of legal advice in a level of formality to just one supervisor.
I see. Okay, that's a piece that I missed. All right.
Some things deserve more formality, I guess is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
And in some circumstances, we'd like to be able to say to you, this really should be dealt with in a more formal way.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Other question I just had is if this deals with the relation or request solely from county board members. So what's the order of priority for requests from departments, for example? Where does that fit in? How does that work?
Well, we didn't address that in this. I think the budget amendment was addressing the county board, although I don't have it in front of me, so I can't say that for certain. What I would say to you is obviously county executive gets high priority when he makes requests. His department heads get second priority to him, much like the priority here. I'm not going to tell you that the county exec is more important than the county board or the vice versa. They're all equal members of government. So.
I would just offer as a follow-on to Supervisor Broderick's comments that if we could perhaps, either in the resolution or in some other communication, confirm the willingness of the Corporation Counsel's office to have an ongoing dialogue on informal matters, and maybe we have a process for that, and some definition about what constitutes a written formal opinion, because that is a judgment call, and that's where I think the difficulty lies. And I'm just asking for an off the cuff opinion, and for you that's a different kettle of fish.
Because I don't want to be too conversational here, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Because informal opinions, somewhat off the cuff, can sometimes be then spread as though they were more formal and as though they were more thoughtful. Yes. I mean, we react to informal things informally.
Right.
We don't spend a day or 2 days writing a formal legal opinion that is then distributed. So that's the question. We want to be careful that something that is informal remain that. And if we want more formality, we give it the more formal attention it deserves. So with Supervisor Rice's comments, what I would suggest, if you're willing, is that we lay this over another cycle. We'll try and work on the language and make it back.
And before that motion for layover, I'd like the comments to continue. Supervisor Rice?
In my final comment, it's just, question. This is couched in terms of what the order of priority will be. And so the question may arise, well, I understand you're going to put it at the bottom of your to-do list, but eventually you'll get around to getting back to you. If that's not the intent here, I guess we'd like to know that.
There's no intent to table any forever in the order of priority.
Well, but there might be some cases in which, you know, communication is appropriate to say that request is more appropriately directed through a committee or through the board. And that, you know, we're not going to have it under sub 4 as being, you know, an individual committee.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Cesars and Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I have is, as you reflect on all the discussions here today, is once a matter, as an example, once a matter has already been referred to court counsel for a written opinion, should there be a request by an individual supervisor, Mr. Chairman, to ask the same question as was the situation I think mentioned earlier on a previous piece of legislation? What happened in that situation was an informal opinion came out, and that seemed to have trumped the process whereby decisions were all, you know, could have happened in a different, more orderly manner, where the same information would have been distributed through the channel of the committee that requested the original action, so, or the opinion. There's a communication and a record-keeping function intended in this to say that, hey, that matter's already being researched and will be delivered to the whole committee, and we will also share that information with you when and where appropriate, rather than, oh, by the way, we're just going to give it to you, and we're not going to give it to the committee until the committee meeting date. You know, I think this might have been one of the reasons why this whole matter came before us, and we just need to pay attention as we're reviewing the draft language that we don't create something more complicated than it needs to be.
And that's why we're having discussing the process, because Office of Corporation Counsel is a gatekeeper. They know what's coming in. They know what they've dealt with. They know what they've passed on, where things are. And we as individuals, it's a question, may not necessarily know that.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, if I could, just to follow up that comment. There is a tension here, obviously, this is what we've been talking about. And sort of a simple way to respond to Supervisor Cesar's comment is be careful what you ask for, because if you restrict this too tightly, it does impede the ability for the informality that you want from time to time. And so it is a balancing act, and we've tried to do that, and we will continue to do that. And what we're trying to do here, I think, is lay out that balancing act as much as we can.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my concerns are when you, I guess, to a lesser degree, or how you're going to, will any individual request be denied and say, well, we can't give you an opinion on that?
Mr. Chairman, I would say maybe very rare instances, what we would say to you is not that we can't give an opinion. But we think this opinion really deserves more attention than this informal phone call or this two-sentence email. And we can give you maybe a preliminary reaction or something like that, but we would suggest that because of the nature of the question, it's really something where the response is going to need to be shared, where we want to be shared, and we ask for a referral from the committee. So I would never say we're ever going to deny our services to the board as a whole or the committee. As an individual supervisor, we would like to at least have that discussion with you. You know, supervisor, why shine? Don't you think it'd be better that we had this committee? And we can talk about that. Maybe we'll be convinced we're wrong, but we'd like it. And I think we're talking about the rare circumstances, not the common circumstances. But that, if you want to call that a denial, I guess maybe that would be a denial. That would be as far as it would go.
The reason I ask is that you need to, you know the legal parameters of an issue, whether it's a small individual type issue or a countywide significant issue, to lay out the strategy on how you're going to pursue these things. No supervisor wants to introduce an ordinance only to go through all that effort, come to the committee, and then say, oh yeah, that conflicts with this state law or this provision in the state constitution, so the last work you've done for the last 6 months months has been off or not. And so that's why you have these individual requests are to help plan the strategy of how you're going to be successful in whatever endeavor you're engaging in. And so that's why my concern is that you would say, oh, this has a countywide significance and you need to somehow pursue it in an avenue that would make it less successful than if you were to be able to get an opinion from Corp Counsel on an individual basis that you could then base your strategy off of and address some of the concerns right off the bat on the legality of an issue.
Mr. Chairman, and I understand that, and again, it's not our intention to stop that process. It's just that if a supervisor calls me up and says, I'm thinking about doing X, Y, or Z, is it legal? What are the legal parameters? What are the things I've got to worry about? If you want something done quickly, then I'm going to react quickly based on basically my background knowledge, maybe 15 minutes looking at a statute or something. But I have looked at legal questions over the years before I was in the county and while I've been in the county, where my initial reaction was wrong upon spending a bunch of time. I'd like to think it doesn't happen very often, but it does. And so there is a difference between the reaction I give you off the cuff. Now, if you come to me, I've got this project I want to work on. I'm not in a hurry. You can take the time you need to take to spend some time really looking at it thoroughly. Then I think we can respond and do that. I don't think that's an issue, but...
Well, I guess that's where I'm glad we'll let us over for a cycle to develop this more, because I think that there has to be different category for advice and then a more formal process to get something more of a, say, foundation piece of an ordinance and a legal opinion on that point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Before I get to Supervisor Lipscomb, I just want us to, as supervisors, understand that we've lost a lot of knowledge and experience during the recent departures of staff members from Corporation Council. Mr. Andrews has left us, Mr. Shaley, Mr. Chapacom,
Mrs.
Grimes.
Grimes.
So my point is that we need to be somewhat patient, because if there are replacements from wherever these attorneys have come from, they may not have the experience that those who have left have had. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Supervisor Weishon essentially illuminating the issue, which was the genesis of this in the first place, which was, and I understand that we all approach it our own experience, our own frame on the issue, and the genesis was, in fact, an instance like that, which I think goes beyond what is laid out here, which is a process by which resolutions, ordinances, or reports are formally referred. The instance was, in fact, a request for some legal explanation of the effect of a statute on Milwaukee County, of a state statute on Milwaukee County. And it was rejected on the basis that it should come before a committee. Well, there was in fact no resolution, ordinance, or report in which this question would have been framed, or there was nothing instantly before the county board or the county committee. It was my desire to understand the statute in order to understand the context of potential litigation and some other issues that we're involved in. And I felt that I needed an understanding of that information in order to figure out how I might want to proceed, what I might bring forward in a future resolution or that there, in fact, was no issue, that I misunderstood it, and that would have been the end of it. But there was effectively a pushback. There was never any answer to it other than that I was supposed to bring it forward, and I felt that there was no process for me to bring it forward because there was no issue at that point that would have generated a committee's referral or a county board referral. And so I felt like I had a right to Corp Counsel spending some time on it, not a priority right to their time, but that I had a right to some cooperation. So I just want to make sure that as it is sent back, that that broader understanding of the context of how this was, how this came about, is incorporated. So if that falls under this informal opinion process, then perhaps that needs to be included as some explanation of that category of referral, because I've still never received that. So
thank you. Supervisor Jersey.
Thank you. I do appreciate the comments. I think a referral back is a good solution for today. And the one thing I would like to see added to the resolution is some language included on the process when a declination to give advice occurs. What happens then? And I think that'll hopefully pick up some of what Supervisor Lipscomb is asking for. And I appreciate Corp Counsel's comments about not making this too specific, because I think we're all trying to deal really within a framework and not start creating a formal ordinance, if you will. I think it is a policy statement, but it would be useful to know what happens when you do say to someone that you're not going to provide an opinion. I mean, I know attorneys can look at statutes and come up with two different answers. In fact, in my own office where I practice with my husband, one of my favorite comments is you can come into the office and get two opinions that disagree with each other immediately. So, but it would be useful to know then what would we do if you declined. Thank you.
Has Mr. Jorgensen left yet?
Yes.
That was the name I forgot, Mr. Jorgensen. Thank you very much.
Yeah, in response to the comments, Mr. Chairman, we have in the past 2+ years, if you go back to Donna, but even since then, I think we've lost approximately half the attorneys in the office to retirement, probably 150 years of experience or more. And there are very capable attorneys in our office, but none who have dealt with these kinds of matters in the past, and there's going to be some training and you know, transition to those individuals.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. So, a layover, motion for layover. Supervisor Wyshon moves to lay this matter over. Any questions, comments? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Jersey?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
650 no, this item is laid over.
Thank you very much.